Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
I'm delighted, man, to be here tonight. It's the first time I've preached here. I've only preached here one other time. It's been about a year since I came here last, and Bob had asked me to share the word. And the interesting thing is that the Holy Spirit had already been stirring in my heart a message. This was back in November, had given me kind of an idea for a message, and I knew that it was in my heart, in my spirit. I knew that it was for the next time I was able to speak. And so that I know that this word that the Lord has given to me for you, it's not just for you, it's for me too. But this word is for this moment, for this point in time. And I truly believe that with all my heart. And I pray and hope that the Holy Spirit makes this real to you. Because honestly, the message is probably not one of the more popular messages in the church today. It just isn't. And it seems like God frequently gives me those types of messages. And I think he just knows that I'm crazy enough to say whatever he wants me to say. We were just singing that song. Help me to say whatever you want, you know, whatever you're saying, God. And help me to pray what you're praying, God, right? So here I am about to do that. If you have your Bibles, get them out if you would. If you have a tablet, if you have whatever device you got for your Bible, get that out. Please. we're gonna start off with one scripture. And the title of this message is called The Crown of Suffering for the Crown of Life. The Crown of Suffering for the Crown of Life. Everybody get that? Catch that? The Crown of Suffering for the Crown of Life. I want to read Hebrews 12. Hebrews 2, verse 9. I think I gave that to the scripture people back there. So Hebrews 2, 9. It says, but we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death. So that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you are holy. God, and we have no righteousness apart from you. Our righteousness is filthy rags before you, God. And we can't act like we have it together, Lord, because without you, without your Spirit working in us, working in our lives to move us into faith, to move us into righteousness, to move us into holiness, God, we are nothing. And apart from you, Jesus, we can do nothing. We need to abide in you, Lord. So help us tonight abide in you by abiding in your word. Father, we love you tonight, God. And I pray that whatever you want said, God, would come from this mouth. God, I'm weak in this flesh, Lord. I'm weak, God, but I know that your Spirit is all powerful. And your Spirit is within this flesh, God. And I pray that your Spirit speak tonight. Father, remove me from this platform, God. And I pray that you would say whatever it is that you have for us, God. And we thank you tonight for it, God. We thank you for your word. I pray that it burns in us, God. It says that your word is shut up in my bones like a fire burning. And I pray, God, that that be our heart's cry tonight, that the word of God is burning inside of us, Lord. The times are coming, Father, where we're going to have your word burning in us. God, we're going to have to be sold out to the cause of Christ. We're going to have to be compelled and moved by love, God, for the times that we stand in. So help us, God, to understand this and to endure, God, and to stand when our faith is tested. And Father, I love you. And I thank you, God. I pray, God, that there's a blessing, there is an anointing over this room tonight, God, and that every ear would be attentive. Every ear would hear what the Spirit is saying to this church, to this body tonight. And Lord, we thank you and we love you and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. So Hebrews 2:9. I hope you caught that, because what happened? It says, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death. He was crowned with glory and he was crowned with honor after he suffered death. There was a suffering that took place in the life of Christ like no other man. The suffering, the agony. It says that he, in Isaiah 53, it says that he was a man that was despised and he was rejected by men and he was well acquainted with sorrow and with grief. And it led Jesus all the way to the path, all the way to get to the cross, after he was opposed by men over and over, when all he came to do was to fulfill Scripture. All he came to do was proclaim liberty for the captives. And yet they opposed him, and he was met with sorrow, he was met with grief, and he understood it very well. He actually knew it. He understood it probably better than anybody. And all of that acquainted to him going all the way to the cross, where he suffered a horrible death. And he suffered death for you and for me. And that's the gospel message of Jesus Christ summed up for you. That's what he did. I could stop there and we could be good. But I'm going to keep going. Suffering is something that you see all throughout the New Testament books. Most of these writings, most of the mentioning of suffering comes from the Apostle Paul. Again, another man very acquainted with suffering. He suffered much at the hands of men, at the hands of false teachers, and those that opposed him in his gospel message of Jesus. Yet he understood and knew what suffering was. And so you see a lot of this theme throughout the New Testament where Paul so many times would mention suffering, suffering. But guess what? It wasn't just here I am suffering and I'm so sad about my suffering and I'm going to wallow in a pity party. It was Paul literally saying, I rejoice in my sufferings. I rejoice that I get to fellowship with Christ through his sufferings. I get to be a partaker of his sufferings. Paul knew that. Paul understood it. And he was a man that wrote much about it. I'm going to share something with you that, and again, suffering, you can take it however you want it. Suffering is literally something that is just comes into your life and is hard. It's a bad thing that's come into your life somehow. And that causes pain even for you, or agony for you, or anguish for you. That's suffering. We could sum it up as that. But I'm going to share a story that happened to me 2 weeks ago today. I was at Teen Challenge. I was coming out of talking to some students, getting ready to go and teach a class. And I fortunately just had sat down in a chair. And I sat down in that chair, and I don't remember exactly what happened, but all of a sudden I went into a seizure. Never had a seizure in my life. I'm 32 years old. I've never had one before. Went into this seizure, and it was a pretty extended seizure. It wasn't like a little short one. I snapped out of it. It was long. I came out of that, and the only thing I really remember from the point that I sat down in that chair to the time I woke up in the hospital at the ER of Elkhart, I don't remember much, but just a few little things. It was all fuzzy. It was all blank. And I woke up with a lot of questions. Like, how did this happen? Why did this happen? I don't get it. And since that 2 weeks ago, I've been going through this thing with the Lord of asking him, God, I still don't understand why this is happening. I don't understand why that happened. And the recovery that's been hopefully taking place in my body has been as seemingly slow. And I thank God for these men at Teen Challenge that have just surrounded me and loved me, these students. You know, these guys that came straight off the street, and now they're starting to fall in love in Jesus. And these men have prayed for me, have laid hands on me, have believed God for me. And even last night, I was feeling horrible. And I went into a chapel, and they laid hands on me. And when I walked out from Teen Challenge last night, I felt awesome. I felt fine. And it's been this up and down thing going on. Yeah, clap it up. That's Jesus, man. Jesus heals. Jesus heals. Amen. So here I am with questions and doctor bills, and I don't have medical insurance. And so all this stuff is piled up, and I really look at it as a form of suffering, not because God punished me. That's not what I'm getting at. God allowed it, because God's in control of all things. So God allowed this for some reason. The reason I may not understand fully yet, but I believe that it's going to produce something in me that's good, right? Because he has a plan. He has a plan for this whole thing that's happened to me. And I don't get it, and I have a lot of questions, but that's okay, because Jesus can answer all of my questions. Now here's the deal. Suffering can come in many forms. Suffering can come through a physical ailment. Suffering can be emotional. You can go through deep emotional pain and be scarred deep in your heart, and you suffer internally, yet you would probably not want to tell too many people that because you're suffering. It can be emotional. It can be mental, right? Some of you know what I'm talking about, and as I say this to you, you get it because you know. You know the pain inside of you, and you're asking God to bring a healing, and he's going to. He's going to heal you. But here's the deal. Suffering is going to do one of two things. It's going to produce in you an utter dependence on Jesus or a rejection of him. Did you guys catch that? Suffering is either going to produce an utter dependence to cling to Christ, or it's going to do something in you, and you're going to get upset about it, and you're not going to like it, and you're not going to accept what's happening to you and take hold of it by faith, and then you're going to walk away. You're going to say, God, why do I deserve this? What did I do? And again, it's the woe is me. And I haven't done that. Thank God I haven't done that. I've just been saying, Lord, I need healing. Lord, I don't understand, but here I am. And I know that you can heal me. And there's healing. There's healing in Christ for all of us. Amen? Turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 1. It says, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, though. It doesn't stop there. We don't simply rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. What else do we rejoice in? Well, let's keep reading. We'll find out. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. We rejoice in our suffering. That doesn't make sense to a logical little puny pea brain, right? It doesn't. You have to take that scripture by faith, because how in the world can we do that? How can we apply what James said to count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations? How do we do that? The Holy Spirit, I believe, is the only thing inside of us that can do that for us. Amen? But we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that's been given to us. Now, something's going on in these scriptures, especially verses 3 through 5. There's a little chain of events. There's a cause and there's an effect. Amen? You see where I'm going with this? There's a cause of what? Suffering. The first thing being suffering. Now, honestly, most of us in our flesh would say, let's skip that one, right? Let's leave the suffering out, and we'll move on. I can probably deal with trying to figure out how to endure, and I can hopefully figure out how to get some character in my life. And I understand hope, but let's leave out the suffering. But here's the deal. These verses are really a chain. Suffering being the first link in that chain. Now, when all of this is dealt, when that suffering is dealt with through faith, what happens? Well, that chain starts over here, and then you keep adding some links, and you get over here, and you have hope. Suffering, when dealt with through faith, produces hope. And you're like, that doesn't make sense. That really does not make sense. But again, by faith, you have to understand and believe the word of God, right? Starts with suffering. Goes to endurance, and as endurance is worked out, it brings forth character or maturity in your faith, and then that maturity or that character starts to produce a hope in you. Amen? Isn't that awesome? I got excited about that when I was reading. I hope you do. Man. Now, here's the deal. For us believers, the cross of Jesus' suffering, guess what? That was kind of the first link in our walk with Christ, right? Because at some point in time, if we have put our faith in Christ and if we're saved by grace through faith, then at some point in time, we put our faith in the fact that Jesus died on an old rugged cross and that Jesus spilt his blood for us and that he didn't just die, but he was buried, and then he was buried for 3 days and not more than the appointed 3 days, and then he was risen, right? After the 3 days, he was resurrected. So, but that first link is what? The suffering and the death of Jesus Christ. And then you can trace it on over. And what's our final hope? To be resurrected. Amen? That this old fleshly body is going to be bye-bye. And I'm going to have a glorified body. And I don't have to suffer anymore. There's no more pain. There's no more sorrow. There's no more what? Suffering. It's going to be eternal bliss and joy and worship in heaven. That's awesome. That's something to look forward to.
I get excited, man. If you can't tell, I'm up here sweating bullets, but I don't care. Because I'm on fire. Because of the Holy Spirit.
Let's go to Romans 8. Let's see if we can wrap this up in the time limit Bob gave me. So Romans 8, if you look in starting in verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. I'm not going to read through all of these scriptures. I just really want to key in on verse 18. But really the context of what he's going into here is that the creation was subjected to frustration. And that creation is inwardly groaning, right? Not just creation, but we ourselves are groaning inside for our adoption. We've already been adopted legally by Jesus because of what he did on the cross. But we are going to be adopted because it says the adoption as sons is actually to receive our glorified bodies. The redemption of our bodies. So that's what's going on here. It also goes on further to say in verse, 24. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Now here's this verse. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Now, if you get the context of that, verse 26 is truly showing that the Holy Spirit is groaning through us and in us because of our weakness as a frustrated piece of creation. Now, we've been redeemed by Christ, but have you ever been in that place where you're just travailing with the Lord and you're saying, God, I don't quite understand this. I'm going through something. I'm suffering. And you have those thoughts hit you of heaven and being with Jesus forever. You ever had that? And it wells up inside of you, and there's this groaning, this longing. Well, the Spirit of God is praying through you. Amen? And he puts this thing inside of you, this groaning, this longing, to understand what it means to be redeemed in this body fully. That's what's going on there. There's a contrast of suffering. Back to verse 18. There's a contrast of suffering and the glory that's going to be revealed. Now, if you imagine this, you put suffering on one side of the scale, and you put the glory to be revealed on the other side of the scale, what's going to happen? Boom! That glory is going to outweigh that suffering. That's what happens. And when we can really, in the moment of our suffering, when we can truly look to the fact that there is a glory to be revealed, and we focus on that glory, and that's our hope of heaven, you know what that does? Minimizes the whole deal. Your suffering becomes very little, very, very little. Amen? There's no comparison, man. That's the easy way to say it. There's no comparison. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're moving along, and we're covering some scripture. But amen is good, huh? These verses I stumbled upon and thought they were awesome. Now again, this is Paul. Starting in verse 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. Everybody there? Anybody need some time? I want you all to see it. It's good to read it and see it. Oh, it's up here. Yes, I forgot about that. Thank you, Bob. All right, let's read. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction that we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that, well, what's that? The affliction, the being burdened beyond their strength, the despair of life, feeling that they had received the sentence of death. That's that. So, but that was to what? Make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. There was a deliverance, there's a current deliverance, there's a future deliverance when we trust in God. But do you see that? Do you understand what's going on there? All of that was allowed by God so that their dependence, so Paul's dependence, would rely completely on Christ. And so we have things unfold in our lives at times that we don't quite understand and that come on us swiftly sometimes. That seizure came on me swiftly. And honestly, I was sitting back there in worship just praying, God, heal me. God, I felt horrible. You know what? I don't feel anything right now. I feel good. Because God knew that he was going to get me up here and I was going to be okay. But I had to sit back there during worship with a headache, feeling horrible, no clarity in my mind. Had to sit back there and trust that God was going to do what he promises in his word. And that was to heal. Amen? Thank you, Dave. I will definitely take that water. Actually, I probably won't even get to it to the end, but amen. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1. So moving along. So there was a dependence that came from Paul because of what God allowed in his life. And you could chalk that up as suffering. He went through some suffering. Let me get to it, my Bible. This is like a brand new Bible. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Now, that's a lot to kind of take in. But really what happens here, I really love this because Peter, what he's doing in these first few lines of this letter is he's really pointing the people that are going to be reading it, he's pointing them to Christ. He's wanting to put their attention on Christ. And not only Christ, but he's also wanting to focus their attention on the blessings that are to be had, the inheritance that is to be had in Christ and because of Christ. So he's really focusing their attention to Christ before he goes in to say, now we rejoice in all of that, but we need to rejoice also that there's various kinds of trials and that we're going through some stuff right now. But you see what he does? He puts their focus on Jesus. Amen? Did you guys able to get those pictures up? Yeah? Let's do the first one. It's going to be a little fun thing here, if we can get it. Maybe. Now this seems kind of a white teen challenge van. What is that doing there? This is kind of funny. You can laugh. It's okay. I know I'm been kind of fired up and serious, but you can laugh a little. So here's the deal. The same as Peter was putting the focus on Christ and his blessings before he started to talk about the trial. And this is kind of just a weird little word picture for you, if you will. But now check this out. Now you got to use your imagination here, okay? So if this van is Jesus, right? Okay, the van's Jesus. Don't call me a heretic if I say that. This is just for imaginary sake. This van right here is Jesus, okay? You got it? The van's Jesus? Okay, next picture. Now if you can see, this is Joey. I guess you could say in anguish or agony or in pain or whatever you want to call it. But what Joey represents is the trial. What Joey represents is the suffering. Now what happens? If I stand and look at Jesus the way I should be looking at Jesus, what happens? Joey's nowhere to be found, right? But if I want to, or the trial, or the suffering, if I want to, well, all I got to do is walk around that Jesus and get around so I can peek at the trial and peek at the suffering, and then where's my focus at? So God is big enough, if we keep our focus on Him, He is way bigger than any issue, than any suffering, than any test that you go through. He could obliterate any bit of suffering. He can obliterate any bit of thing you're going through. It doesn't matter how big it seems to us. But if we can do that, we can look at Christ and keep our focus on Christ and let our eyes be fixed on Christ, what happens? That suffering disappears behind the vast majesty and power of God. And that's what I've had to learn how to do in this past couple weeks, because it's been a test. And I can be honest, man, I've had some fears. The thoughts of death have come through my mind. Because when you have a seizure, it's unexpected. You've never had one. You're like, what is going on? There's something off here. But I have trusted in God, and I've warred with God in prayer, and I've had brothers and other ministries praying for me and warring with me through this, and I thank God for that. Oh, and it showed me, you want to know what God was speaking to me in the prayer room at the center before I came here tonight? I was praying, getting ready for this message, and if I get teared up, don't mind. I do this from time to time. But God really was showing me that I can't be in control. And God really spoke to me that, you know, He didn't say this directly to me. I just felt it in my heart. Kind of like, Derek, you try to be in control too much. You try to have your hand on things too much. You don't trust me enough. And it showed me that I have this issue with having to be in control of my life. And when I feel like it, and what did it do? This seizure completely took me out of control in the snap of a finger. Now I'm at the mercy of other people. Help me. And it was tough. And that's what God was showing me, is that I'm too wanting to be in control. Another thing is my self-sufficiency. Those were the two things in the prayer room that God really was like, boom, love you. Boom, hit me with it in a good way. You're self-sufficient. And what happens when you're put in place where your little control and your little self-sufficiency aren't going to do you any good? Well, I got to call on Jesus. That's all I can do. That's all I can do. And that's what I discovered today. And those are a couple of the things that are great that have come from something bad. Because that's showing me my faults. That's showing me my weakness. And where I need to start surrendering some more things to the Lord. And that's okay. So there's our word picture. Thank you, Joey, for being our suffering. I'm kidding. Joey's awesome. All right, now back to the crown of suffering. The whole title of this message, the crown of suffering for the crown of life. And I am running out of time. 2 Timothy 4, 7, and 8. I'm just going to kind of breeze through these. All these verses I'm about to go through have to deal with somebody, believers, receiving a crown, okay? So 2 Timothy 4, 7, and 8. It says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. There is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Okay, now I highlighted and bold printed on my little notes here the things in 2 Timothy 4, 7, and 8. And I'm going to kind of single out the little phrases. So here it is. Fought the good fight. Finished the race. Kept the faith. Laid up for me the crown of righteousness. So you see, there's some things you got to do to get that crown. It doesn't just, you get crowned. Here I am, I'm a king, you know. You have to fight. You have to finish the race. You have to keep the faith. Amen. And for you, if you long and you love for that day to come for his appearing, laid up for you is the crown of righteousness. Amen. James 1:12 says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Now, again, you almost kind of see some conditions on these verses. You have to kind of do something to get that crown. A lot of times we just say, well, I'm saved, man. I'm getting my crown, you know. But there's something to it. You have to love him. You have to long and love his appearing, right? According to that last verse. But I blanked out some stuff again. And in this one, remains steadfast under trial, has stood the test, will receive the crown of life. You catch all that? Again, it's more testing. It's more stuff that we go through in this life as a Christian. Just because you sign on it and say, Jesus, here I am, and I need salvation, I need for forgiveness of sins, that's awesome. That's the first step. But guess what? There's so much more to it. It's a fight of faith, and it's called a fight for a reason. You're not sitting back in the corner just huddled up like, I'm going to get to heaven one day. No, you got to get the gloves out. You got to do some spiritual warfare and some battle and some praying, right? That's part of a Christian walk. Revelation 2:10, do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. So again, blocking these out, about to suffer. Now, I'm not speaking this over you. If you go through something, I didn't speak it over you. This is just a verse. About to suffer. Throw some of you into prison. That may come here in the United States. That one might not be too far off. You see people, it already happening to people here, right? For standing up for Christ, getting thrown in jail. Well, you can't say that. You can't do that. Well, I love Jesus, and I'm going to say and do what he says. Amen? And if it lands me in jail, I've been in jail before. I can do it again. That's what I say to the Teen Challenge guys. Like, most of these dudes have been in jail and some in prison. I said, man, you got it up, because when you walk in faith with Jesus and they tell you you're going to go to prison for your faith, you're going to say, I've already done like 5 years. Come on, bring it on. Bring it on. So you got one up on them. But let's block it out. About to suffer. Throw some of you into prison. Be tested. Have tribulation. But guess what? Faithful unto death. And you will receive the crown of life. Amen. Now, how many pastors do we have in here? Anybody that's in a role over people's lives where you're counted on and looked to? Or maybe some of you that want to become pastors one day? 1 Peter 5:4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. So for all of you pastors, let me encourage you with this, is that there is a special crown laid up for you because of your work and because of your labor in the Lord. And I want to bless you with that tonight. That if you, I don't care if you're just an overseer, a deacon, I mean, this is more so for shepherds over flocks. That's what this verse is pertaining to. But man, I bless you guys to continue in what you're doing. Pastor Bob, continue in what you're doing. I know that you've been a faithful man of God for a lot of years, and I thank God for men like you that stand up and preach the truth. And there's a special crown for you, Pastor Bob. Amen? Yeah, give him a clap, man. Yeah. Honestly. Now, I think God, he knows my sense of humor, I was dealing with this verse and praying about it, and it's kind of like I had this really funny thought. And so, you, the sheep, how many sheep we got in here? Raise your hands. Okay. You sheep, don't get offended when I say this. But this is the funny thought that came to me, is that why do the pastors get a special crown? Why do they get that? Well, because they have to have the giant test in their life to shepherd a flock and have to try to lead the sheep in the right way. And that's a big role. That's a big role. And so I think that's why God was speaking to me is, man, they have the test of shepherding a flock, and that's not easy, because you have to deal with everybody else's problem on top of your own stuff. You have to try to counsel. You have to try to help. You have to try to lead other people while you're trying to follow Christ. And it's a big task. And so if you ever think about it, man, lift up your leadership, pray for them, pray for Pastor Bob, pray for the rest, the healing team, the worship team. They need it. Amen? Because they're called to minister, and they pour out, and I'm running out of time. Real quick, jump to Matthew 27. We're going to end here. And as you're turning there, remember this too. All of the crowns that we just went through, all of those crowns are awarded to the recipients because of adversity. You understand that? Because that the people they're speaking to, these verses are speaking to, they had to go through adversity in their life to get to that crown. Some type of trial, some type of hardship. It wasn't easy. They were crowned for their faithfulness and being faithful to the end. So Matthew 27. Let me jump over here quick. Starting in verse 27. It says, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him, and they stripped him, and they put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and they put a reed in his right hand, and kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews,' and they spit on him, and they took the reed, and they struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him, and they led him away to crucify him." Can you just picture that? Kind of in a royal palace, the governor's headquarters, surrounded by a battalion, which is roughly 120 to 200 soldiers, is what it says. Surrounded. Jesus was surrounded. And what do these soldiers say? This is something that popped out to me that I have never thought before, but this is crazy because these soldiers that were saying these things, little did they know that even in their ignorance, they were prophesying. They were prophesying of a future event. And why do I say that? Because they were saying, they gave him the rod to rule. And they were mocking him because most people would have a rod or some type of scepter or staff to rule with in their right hand. And they gave that to him, and they put the robe on him, and they put the crown of thorns on him. They said, "Hail, King of the Jews. Hail, King of the Jews." And they even kneeled, it says in that scripture, that they were kneeling and saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Well, guess what? Philippians 2, verses 9 and 10 says that he was given a name above every other name. So at the name of Jesus, what? Every knee would bow, and every what? Tongue would confess that Jesus is Lord. Those soldiers were prophesying what he's talking about in Philippians. Isn't that crazy? They were speaking, and they didn't even realize it in their ignorance. But here we have this picture of Jesus being crowned with these thorns and led away to be crucified. But guess what? Because Jesus did what he did and was led away to be crucified and was resurrected, because he took on that crown of suffering for all of us, he took on that crown of thorns for all of us, he then therefore went through the cross back to heaven, and now he is crowned with many crowns, it says in Revelation 19. When it speaks of him coming back on the white horse and his name be called Faithful and True, and it says he has many diadems, many crowns on his head in Revelation 19. And so Jesus, our Messiah, went from a crown of thorns to holding many diadems. And that speaks of his rule and his authority. And he has the final say because he is crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen? Hallelujah. That's it. But what I want to do, and I don't know if we have time. Do we have time? A little bit of time? What I felt tonight when I was praying is if we're going through something, and like I said, suffering can come in many forms. It could be a sickness. Suffering could be, and again, an emotional anguish you're going through. It could be mental torture maybe you're going through. It could just be a hardship in your life. Finances aren't there like you think they should be. You know, something's going on. Unexpected disaster happens. Some of you are facing real life issues right now. And all I felt of what to do, I was thinking, God, I could do an altar call and I could pray for a bunch of people and have the prayer team come up and whatever. And that's fine. If you guys need prayer, ask for prayer. I know there's people here that will pray for you. But all I thought tonight was, why don't we come forward? If you're going through something, and let's act out scripture tonight and rejoice in our suffering. Like that verse I read. Let's stand up front. And if that's you and you got something going on and you don't know how to get through it, all I can say to you is the one way to get through some suffering is to rejoice in the Lord. To rejoice in the Lord. To rejoice in the Lord. Do you hear me? To rejoice in the Lord. And say, God, I don't understand it. This is tough. It's eating away at me. It's killing this flesh. But you know what? I'm going to rejoice anyway. And if I fall out rejoicing, then amen. So if that's you, all I want you to do is come forward. And I don't, if the worship team has maybe one worship song we could do, but I just want you, if that's you, to come forward and say, here I am, Jesus, and I'm going to worship you. And I'm going to rejoice in this suffering because, God, I know that it's producing something in me that's far greater than I can understand because that's what it's doing in you. Amen? I'm going to pray quick. Father, thank you for the one stepping forward. God, if there's more, draw them. I pray, Father, just a blessing over these right now. Father, I pray that you would help them to rejoice in their sufferings, God, in their hardships, in their pains, in their trials. Father, help them to rejoice tonight, God, and not just tonight and walk away from this service and forget about it, Lord, but tomorrow they would wake up, and even if the suffering's still there, Lord, that they would rejoice in it. Father, we thank you and we love you, God. Lord, may we worship you in spirit and in truth. And I thank you, Holy Father, for your word, for your faithfulness to us when we feel like throwing in the towel, God. You never give up on us, Lord. Your love never fails. And I thank you for it, God. So help us, Jesus, to worship you in spirit and in truth tonight. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bring light to Have you? gonna find my resting place in the chambers of your heart. Gonna find my resting place in the chambers of your heart. Gonna find my resting place in the chambers of your heart. Gonna find my resting place in the chambers of your heart. Gonna find my resting place in the chambers of your heart.
Have your home in my heart, you belong.